Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you what, when your musicians are out, you just don't know exactly what to do, right? Amen. It's good that when we gather together, it's not important all the details go correctly. It's important that you bring your heart. Amen? That you're here to fellowship, and that's why we're here. We're here to fellowship and to minister to one another. And I'm thankful that Larry didn't get Todd. Todd was kind of hiding out in the back. Todd Terry's here today, and Todd's one of our great brothers from the Dallas church, and we're glad to see him. And God bless your family and all of those with you. And he just happened to be driving by and said, "I'm going to stop in." So we're just blessed, and thanks for coming in, Todd. We appreciate it. Amen. Well, God's good. Turn over to the book of Ephesians today, and we'll probably get there eventually. We're just thankful that we live in a nation that basically, I mean, your lives have been turned upside down somewhat, but not like someplace else. Amen? Your lives have not been turned upside down like in other places. I mean, you probably are still going to, I mean, now you're probably back at Walmart. Look at you now. You guys are different than many other people. You're back in church. I just drove around the corner from the Celebration Church, and they're not celebrating today because it looks like the doors are closed and nobody's in the parking lot. And, you know, we're not criticizing anybody. We're just thankful that we're able to come together and meet together. And they probably have 20,000 people or something in that little tiny building, and it's hard to social distance if you're into that kind of thing. We social distance just by osmosis around here. You know, you guys are so used to it. You like, yeah, it's like guy likes sitting in the pew where he can stretch his arms out, and he's got long arms. Amen. That's good. That's good. No, but we're all excited because, you know, you are an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. You're an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. That's what you are. That's why you're still here. Otherwise, Jesus would come get you and you'd just be in heaven with him. It'd be all wonderful. But what he wants to do, he wants to have the family as big as possible. And so that's the reason you're here. And you're here to love somebody else. You're here to love your neighbor, right? That's why you're here. Love God, love your neighbor. That's the second commandment. The first was love God. And then when you meet up with God, what's he say? Love your neighbor. Oh, man, I thought loving God was good enough. No, it's the loving your neighbor part. That's the part he's got to help you with, right? Because that's the part that the neighbor doesn't make it any easier. The neighbor is kind of a tough bird. Yeah, the neighbors are kind of a tough problem. I mean, your family gets tough sometimes, right? Amen? Esther, isn't that great? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I mean, look, Todd, you know, he's just here by himself, you know. Where's your family, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. Life is tough. Jeff's missing half his kids, you know. And so, oh, I guess they're all up and at them doing things that are important. Back at school. Back at school is good. It's always good to be back at school. Amen. Janet, where's Janet today, you're wondering? She's with the grandkids, so, you know. Jordan could go to church at one month out of six, so because they've got special needs kids and it's so hard for them to go all the time. So she committed to do that. And when he asked her yesterday, when they were at my house for my birthday, and so praise the Lord. So she's off and doing. But I just want to encourage you this morning, by the scriptures and by the Word of God, that all of these things that are happening in the world, they've all happened before. Well, what about a coronavirus? Well, you had people, at one point in the 1200s, you had people just dying in the streets. I don't think we're seeing that. You know, you don't have people just, you know, you have to cart them off. You know, I saw one ambulance this morning, and I didn't even see him doing anything. You know, he was in a hurry to go somewhere, had his little lights going, but, you know, I don't know what he was doing, but it didn't. When he finally did stop, it was like at a fire on the side of the road. You know, some homeless person had set up camp or something. You know, so we just don't see those dangers. But what we do hear is we hear it. Anybody ever heard it? Anybody hearing bad news? Anybody hearing things? That's what gets us first, is hearing. You know, and the scripture talks about how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the... Well, how does fear come, usually? First of all, fear comes by hearing too, doesn't it? And so when you hear, and you hear, and you hear, and you hear, and you continually hear fear, you begin to wonder, well, maybe it's all true. You know, and you begin to, and your insides begin to turn upside down. And you begin to get nervous, and you begin to wonder what is going to happen next. And then, of course, you turn on, you know, whatever you turn on. You can turn on all kinds of things today. You know, you can turn on your little handheld. You can turn on your TV. And you find, you hear, there's so, the scripture said there's so many voices in the world. And none of them is without some significance. But if the blower of the trumpet does not give a certain sound, who's going to know what to do? The scripture always gives you a certain sound. Well, it's so hard to understand. No. What's hard to understand is if you try to go there in a hurry. If you're trying to go to the scripture and get a quick fix or a quick answer. But if you're meditating upon the scripture day and night, if you've got it on the inside of you and you're meditating upon it and you know whom you have believed and that he is able to keep that which you've committed unto him against that day, that is what gives you strength. That is what keeps you solid. That's what David said over in Psalm 57. He says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Paul talked about all of his difficulties. And talked perils here, perils on the sea, perils on the land, everywhere a peril. And he says, none of these things moves me. Is that true for you? Say yes. Just say yeah. Just say yes. Don't think about it. Oh, well. I want to answer honestly. No, don't answer honestly. Answer faithfully. Answer faithfully. Are you completely convinced that Jesus Christ has paid for all your sins and he loves you unconditionally? Yes! Amen. Not, well, I was pretty sure until you asked the question. You know, no. You are confident because God made a promise, right? See, the thing about God is he made a promise. The law came later. The law came later to create a nation. You know, when our nation was built, what did we write? We wrote a little document. It's in 1787. We wrote it, and it says, we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do and declare this Constitution, and ordain and declare this Constitution. So that's what law is for. Is to make a nation. That's what God did. What did God do at Mount Sinai? He created a nation. He created a nation out of Israel. He created a nation. But that didn't change the promise that he'd given to Abraham and his seed. It never changed the promise. And the promise is to all those who put faith in the seed. Who's the seed? Jesus Christ. The seed of Abraham started out with Isaac, but the seed of Abraham is Jesus. And so Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham. He's the recipient of the promise. And all of those who you have put faith and hope in him, you are heirs according to the promise. Galatians chapter 3 and 4. You are heirs according to the promise. So, in being heirs according to the promise, everything that's in the promise belongs to you. You are completely redeemed. God sees you as righteous. God said about Abraham in Romans chapter 4. He said, he saw Abraham's faith and counted it to him for righteousness. So it wasn't his deeds, it wasn't his works. In fact, the scripture says in Galatians that there shall no flesh be justified by the works of the law. Why? Is it because the law was a problem? No. The problem is you and your flesh. What God is pointing out to you is you need me and you can't do it yourself. You can't do anything. So I'm happy to tell you today that you can't keep a law. You can't keep the law. You cannot even come close. God just kind of wanted to point that out. So it's important for you to know that there is no hope for you apart from Jesus. There is only hope for you in Jesus. Amen. In fact, you say, Jesus, I receive everything that you provided at the cross. When God ripped open the curtain when the curtain ripped open in the temple and opened the door, opened the way, the Holy of Holies was opened up to everybody. There was no longer a big, thick, fat curtain that only the high priest could go in one time a year. Jesus walked right in there that afternoon. Jesus walked right in there that afternoon, and he got rid of that curtain, and he said, everybody's welcome. Come into the house. Come into the house. So I want to encourage you this morning, first of all, before we even start any other scripture, come into the house. Come into God's house this morning. He is inviting you to come into his house. He loves you. He has completely forgiven you. There's no sin that's keeping you out. Sin doesn't keep you out of the kingdom of God. Sin does not keep you out of the kingdom of God. Only not believing. There's only one sin. What'd you do with Jesus? Did you receive Jesus and his sacrifice and his promise? Did you receive that? Uh-huh. You're in. Now, sit down. He's going to take care of the rest of it. He is going to take... Well, yeah, but I can just see myself messing up. That's the problem. I can see myself. I can see myself. Your problem is you're seeing yourself. Quit seeing yourself. Quit looking at yourself. Bust your mirror. It's not important for you to do what you see yourself doing. What's important is for you to let Jesus work on the inside of you and transform you, change you into a neighbor-loving person. Well, I hate that neighbor. First of all, I don't even know how he's going to get rid of that. That person's a jerk. You know, and amazing, one day you find yourself baking a cake for your neighbor and you don't even bake cakes. You know, what you're doing is all of a sudden you're loving your that person and you didn't even know how it happened. Amen. That, yeah, I mean, people talk about miracles of healing, miracles of lengthening legs. And I've been praying for lengthening legs for many years. I just sit down on the sofa and just pray. Lord, lengthen those legs. Praise the Lord. I want to be as tall as Larry. It'd be great. No, you don't need anything. What you need is just the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. He comes in and he changes and he transforms. Do you believe that? No, I see myself every day. No, quit seeing yourself every day. Break your mirror. Throw that mirror away. Amen? Throw that mirror away. You're looking at the wrong mirror anyway. Which mirror do you look at? James says, James chapter 1 says, look at this mirror. You're looking at the wrong mirror. The Bible's full of funny allegories and funny stories. You look into the mirror, and you looked into the mirror and you forgot who you were. You looked into the mirror, you forgot who you were. You thought you were like a person who does works. No, you're not. Now, people see it, and people see things that you do, and those things happen, but it's not you. It's just Jesus. It's the Holy Ghost working on the inside of you, doing mighty, mighty works. Amen? Hallelujah. So look over to Ephesians chapter 1. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 1, the book of Ephesians, really, is a description. So many the epistles. One thing I find with the epistles is the epistles means the letters. The letters of Paul, especially, when he writes those letters, what they begin with is who God is and who you are. They begin with a description of who you are and who God is. So you want to read the beginning first. So many times, what we do, Christians. We tend to want to go immediately to the works, which is hilarious. Because you remember over in Galatians chapter 3, that's what God got mad at the Galatians, or Paul got mad at the Galatians for. He said, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Put a hocus pocus on you. He put a hocus pocus on you. They said, yeah, you're in Christ Jesus, but what about these works that you're not doing? Oh, well, Paul didn't say we had to do those. Well, we're going to be your pastors. He's the apostle. We're the pastors. We're the day-to-day people. And the day-to-day pastor says, do this. No. That's where they started falling apart. It's because they begin to look at themselves, right? They begin to look at their own features and their own works. That's what they begin to look at. And so here, what God is doing here is he's describing to you in these epistles, especially in Ephesians, but Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, he describes who you are at the beginning, and then at the end, or the last two or three chapters usually, where it says, do this therefore, and do this therefore, and do this therefore. The therefore is therefore what he already described to you. He already described to you who you are and what he's done on the inside of you. So if you'll read the first part of that epistle, you'll find out that the power of God is in you to what? To will and to do what he's talking about at the end of the epistle. So he actually begins to do in you what he talked about in the beginning. I want to challenge you to read those epistles again. Read the whole thing. Read the first part, which says, which we're going to read here in Ephesians, which describes what God has done in Christ Jesus in and through you. And then he describes the result. The result is what appears afterward. For instance, in Galatians, what is the result? You used to be like this. And it gives a longer list of sins than you have. The list of sins is longer than the list of the fruit. You ever notice that? And then the fruit of the Spirit is what God's performed on the inside of you, actually. Amen? It's actual fruit. And fruit's not for you. Could I get some love, joy, and peace? No, it's not for you. Love, joy, and peace. The fruit of the Spirit is not for you to eat. It's for somebody else. It's for that neighbor person. Remember that one? Remember that neighbor you didn't like? Yes. You're going to give some love, joy, and peace to that neighbor. That's going to be awful. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to see the Coopers alive. Lucy is here, right? Okay, good. Praise the Lord. Yeah, they had a wild ride. Praise the Lord. But there's still five of them. Amen. President accounted for. Praise the Lord. Amen. You'll have to ask them. See, that was just a little tantalizer for you. Amen. All right, let's look over at Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Now, whatever you are by the will of God. If you're in Christ Jesus, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a fireman, whether you're, you know, a restaurant worker, whether you're a Walmart manager or, you know, a medical teaching doctors how to operate. Praise the Lord. All kinds of things. Whether you're building aircraft, you know, whatever you're doing it by the will of God. Amen? Well, I don't know. I just took this job. No, you're doing it by the will of God. Whatever you're doing, do it by the will of God. Whatever you're doing, do it by the will of God. Amen. Because what's on the inside of you is the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is leading you. He has put you where you are. Well, I sinned before I got here. Well, it's okay. You're right where you are. God is going to begin to work in you and transform you and do what he's doing. What was Paul doing when God called him? He's tracking down you. He's tracking down the Christians. He's tracking them down. He's going to kill them. But God knew exactly where he was. God knew how to find him. God knew exactly where Paul was. He knew exactly where he was, and he kind of, right there. And he knew exactly how to get him. You know, God knows exactly where to get you if you're kind of in the middle of something. You're not even sure if you're doing the right thing, but God knows exactly where you are. He's not afraid. He's not nervous. He's not lost, and he's not confused. You may be all of the above, but he's not. So you have a God who loves you and cares for you. I said he loves you and he cares for you. He's not out to get you. He's out to bless you. He's out to bless you and the 10 people around you. Amen? It's kind of like, you know, when an explosion happens, you have at the epicenter, you know, and all of a sudden it kind of an explosion actually affects both the thing that exploded and the surrounding territory. You know, God, when he touches you, he affects everybody around you. Amen. Thank the Lord. That's so good. Just think about that. Receive that. God's touched me and everything around me is affected. It's changed. Even my mom. Even my kids. Everything is changed by the power of God touching me. Amen. God said in the beginning, He said, let there be light. And what happened? Nothing. No. God said, let there be light. And what happened? Light. Boom. Didn't hesitate. It was right there. Amen. When God spoke to you and He put life on the inside of you, it was right there. Well, I didn't feel anything. You don't need to feel anything. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Faith cometh by hearing. So, Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ. What? By the will of God. By the will of God. He's writing to the saints who are at Ephesus. To the saints, not the sinners. The saints, those who's a saint? Somebody who doesn't sin? Well, a saint, first of all, somebody who's put hope in the gospel. Somebody who doesn't mean you don't sin. But what it does mean is you put hope in the gospel, and therefore the gospel is taking care of the sin problem. The gospel takes care of the sin problem. I just want you to know that. Not today. Everybody knows on Sunday, you know, God's taking care of the sin problem. Well, the sin problem kind of crops up on Monday and Tuesday, usually Tuesday afternoon, you know, when you're angry and mad, you know, when you've moved into college and, you know, you're starting to meet the people who are not the fun people, not the good people. Praise. Are you still going, Abby? Are you still going to California?
Well, later.
Later. Not now? Oh, it's online? See, you hate that too. Isn't that awful? Praise the Lord. Yeah, you're coming. No, you're not. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Janet knows how you feel. They're teaching all the kids online. I think Teresa was talking about it. You learn how to teach online. You know when things go sideways, you know what you do? Rejoice. You have a choice. Just rejoice. Thank God. Amen? Thank God. It's important to learn how to rejoice. It's important to learn how to rejoice. Now, I could go to a scripture, but I'll avoid the temptation at the moment. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Jesus Christ. To the faithful. Now here he's going to put a blessing on you. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been with Him. He sent you a message. Grace be to you and peace. Paul's been with Him, and He's sending you a message. Grace be to you and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in, yeah, you know, these guys are going about their regular daily routine and their regular life, and all of a sudden here comes a letter from Paul, and they get everybody together in church because everybody didn't get a copy. It's not like the partner letter, you know, that everybody gets a copy, you know, through the mail. No, you don't even. It's like in Africa, you know. The mail barely gets there. If there is a mail, you know, over there in Africa, they have to actually deliver it. They send, you know, Brother Jim to go deliver the message, or they send, you know, Brother Matthew to go deliver the message, you know, so you can get that message. So Paul is sending this message to the church in Ephesus, in the city of Ephesus. And it's kind of like a metropolitan church. It's pretty much, it's got all kinds of stuff in it, just like Fort Worth or Dallas. It's got all kinds of goings on, right? So the people are exposed every day to all kinds of things, all kinds of problems, all kinds of issues. Just like today, we're kind of exposed to everything, right? I mean, it's not like a small towns, you're also exposed to a lot of it, but a lot of it's hidden. Here they broadcast it on TV, you know, in Fort Worth. Yeah, they broadcast everything, all the good and all the bad. But he says to you, Paul says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So first of all, you start out, he's starting out, he says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father Himself, has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. All blessings start out spiritual. I don't feel blessed. I feel like things have just not gone my way. No. If you're in Christ Jesus, all blessings start out as seed. All blessings start out as seed, and you receive them, and they start out as spiritual blessings because they cause you to be able to hear the Lord. They cause you to be able to hear His promise and to see that you've been redeemed and to know that you've been transformed. That's what these things, the spiritual blessings begin to show what has happened to you and that you begin to rejoice. I tell you, that's a major thing. Is to begin to rejoice. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform you in that way. To no matter what the circumstance is. Over in Philippians chapter 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. The 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. Always, we're always rejoicing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, I want you to begin to, and I've said this for 100 years, so, to rejoice and give praise to God. Don't kind of make your excuse first and your complaint first. First, rejoice. Because you may never get there. I found that too. You may there be at the end of the day, you may be still be complaining, right? Anybody ever been there? I mean, you find yourself going to sleep. I can't go to sleep because so-and-so made so much of a mess out of that thing. You know, people who work for you, people who you work for, people who you go to school with, teachers, professors, moms and dads and kids, even grandma and grandpa. Everybody you run into can cause you to give consideration to having a bad day. But then you become kind of worthless to the kingdom. You become a kind of a helper to the enemy than as you do a helper to God. Because somebody else is complaining and you're just joining right in and you're just saying amen. You ever think of yourself as that? Somebody's complaining, you say amen. Somebody's griping, you say amen. You know, you might not say it out loud, but you're like, yeah. Yeah, this coronavirus. You're cursing the coronavirus, and not in a good way. You know, you want to curse it and get rid of it, and amen, I agree with all that. But rejoice in the middle of it. Amen? Rejoice in the middle of it. Hallelujah, glory to God, this coronavirus. I call it the Coco-Rona. The young people call it the Rona. Yeah, I got tested for the Rona. Make the Rona. Never heard of that before. Guy, did you ever hear that? The Rona, yeah. I mean, anything you can do. I'm going to make light of the devil. Amen? I'm going to make light of the devil. I'm going to make light of the politically illiterate that I know and just love them and pray for them. Amen? That's what I'm going to do. Because I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Well, yeah, I'll show you something to be afraid of. Well, you probably will. You know, you'll probably show me something to be afraid of, and I'll be afraid. But I'll be afraid for about a minute. Because you can't get me. You can't get me. I got too much love. I got too much on the inside. And you got the same thing, see? You have the same thing. You have the absolute same thing. So when somebody tries to put something on you, you don't receive it. You don't receive nonsense. Amen? Praise the Lord. You don't receive all that garbage. Because you are exactly what... Did Jesus receive that kind of thing? Well, yeah, that was Jesus. No, you are the same thing. You have the same Holy Ghost on the inside of you that Jesus had. The same one. Praise God. You say, well, He had the Holy Spirit without measure. That's so He just wouldn't... Because God knew He couldn't hurt anybody with it. You know, you might. So yours is a little more tentative. But you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. Say amen. Amen. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And He transforms you and changes you. You know, when Jesus over in John was talking about giving Him the Holy Ghost, they were kind of like, hey, don't think I care anything about this Holy Ghost thing. Jesus, could you just kind of stay around like for the next 60 years and let's just do it this way? No, we're not going to do it that way. We're going to do it the way I want to do it, because I'm going to come in and I'm going to put this Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and He's going to transform you and change you. And you're going to move all over the world. I mean, it's done pretty good, actually. I mean, you know, basically right now you got 1 in 3 people who claim to be Jesus people, Christians. I mean, I think the ratio was a lot less back when the disciples started out, you know. I mean, if you got 1 in 3, that's not too bad. Problem is that leaves you at 2 to 1, and the 2 to 1 are pretty tough bunch. But that's okay. God can handle it. God can handle a challenge. Amen. Verse 3 in Ephesians 1, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Where are you seated? In your spirit, you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are already seated there. That's where, in fact, you live. You have a body and a mind. You have a soul that's sitting here in this pew. And do you have a body and a mind that goes to work or goes to school tomorrow? But you're seated together with Him in heavenly places in Christ, because you're in Christ Jesus. You know, you are seated together with Him. He and you are confabbing together, having fellowship. You're having fellowship with the Lord Jesus right now, because the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. Verse 4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. So all of that, He has chosen you before the foundation of the world. So before you were ever born or conceived, He chose you, because He knew you and saw you coming. Usually we're afraid of somebody. Hey, we saw you coming. That's kind of something you don't want to hear about yourself. No, God saw you coming, and He knew that you were going to receive Jesus. He knew that you were going to receive the gospel. He didn't choose you out to do so, but He knew that you would. He knew that you would. He knew that you would receive that, the gospel of His Son. And He has chosen us in Him before that. And so once you've been chosen in Him, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, you are holy and without blame before Him in love. I want you to, you can repeat that with me, or you can mumble it if you want. I am holy and without blame before Him in love. I am holy and without blame before Him in love. That's what Jesus Christ has done on the inside of you. He's changed you, made you brand new. He's chosen you and made you a brand new creation. Over in 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. He has made you a new creation. There's nothing ever been looking like you before. You're a DNA oddball. There is nothing like you, because Jesus transformed you. You're afraid that corona, what are they making? Vaccine. You're afraid that vaccine is going to change your DNA, Dave. You know, that's what they're telling you on InfoWars. You know, they're telling you that thing is going to change your DNA and you're going to look like some green-headed alien, you know. And they'll call you up and they'll click on the cell phone and all of a sudden you'll be like this. And, you know, you'll be off to the races doing whatever it is they think you're doing. You know what? God's already changed yours. God's already changed your DNA. Amen? Praise the Lord. Is that the mark of the beast? I don't know. Ask Jesus. I think it'll be a little more clear. I don't think it's going to be so ambiguous. I think the mark of the beast, you're going to know it. We should be holy and without blame before Him in love. What does that mean? It means He's already done that on the inside of you. He's changed your DNA. The problem is you don't believe that. You believe you're angry if you're angry. You know, I'm angry. I think I'm angry. It's kind of like when you feel like you're sick. You think you're sick. Oh, I think I got a sore throat. I think I'm coughing. You know. Well, of course, that's how the world works. You know, is that you feel like, I mean, you get a little, you think you're sick. I don't believe that. I just tell my body what to do. You know, and by and large, it works. Amen. Ask Esther. I don't think I got sick recently. Not that I told you? Okay, good. Praise the Lord. Amen. No, I just believe God. It's just kind of a weird thing. I just believe God. I'm not going to be sick, and I'm not. Amen. Now I could get a little something. Oh my gosh, what's that? Or a little scratch. Anybody get a little scratch in your throat? Oh my gosh, I think I'm sick. You start testifying. Amen. No, I'm not going to testify that. I'm going to testify that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I don't have time to be sick. I don't remember Jesus stopping for a cold. Amen. Praise the Lord. I may remember Him stopping to pray, but I don't remember Him stopping for a cold. Well, you know, guys, I'm going to have to take a few days off. I got the Rona. You know? Yeah, it's going to be a problem. It's going to put a kink in my ministry. Amen. No, that's not who you are. Now, we don't do healing shaming. It's kind of like if somebody gets sick and they actually have a blah, blah, again and they go down for a week. We pray for them, love them, bless them. You know, a lot of folks that want to, you know, just like your mask shaming, your healing shaming. You know, hey, that person you're getting it. Look at them, they're going to bed. Look at them, they even took an aspirin. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. No, let the person take an aspirin. It's okay. I'm just telling you what's available. I said, I'm telling you what's available. Amen. People get cancer and people, they do die. Am I telling you that's not happening? No, I'm telling you, believe God. Believe God for the finished work and the finished product. If you go die, what's the worst thing you're going to do? Is go to heaven, be with Jesus. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to be with Jesus. We've had a few funerals here in this church. But by and large, we pretty much knew where they went. You know, it wasn't a secret. They went home to be with Jesus. Verse 4 again, according to He's chosen you, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. That's the good pleasure of His will, to have you adopted as children. To have you. What happens to an adopted child? An adopted child gets everything. Amen? They don't adopt the child and leave him over there in the old house, in the old slum, or in the old, you know, place where he used to live. They bring him into the house. You know, David, you remember, David went out looking for one of Saul's, somebody related to Saul, and found Mephibosheth. Number one, I thought he would have changed his name, but Mephibosheth. He found him. He said, bring that kid. He was a crippled kid. He bring him into this house. And set him at my table, and he's just going to eat at my table and receive of everything that my house has to offer until the day he dies. He adopted that guy. He adopted that kid. And Jesus adopted you. He's adopted you, and He's taken you into His house, and He's given you everything. Are you enjoying everything? Are you enjoying everything that the Father has? I don't even know what it is. I don't know what all He has. Well, come on into the house. Come on into the Word. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. That's it. Because you get to find out. Read the will, for crying out loud. Read the will and find out what He did. He delivered you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. He translated you out of the old kingdom into a new kingdom. Now, I'm not telling you how to get there, and I'm not telling you how to do something, because there's nothing you can do. Here's part 1, 2, and 3, steps 1, 2, and 3 of how you get this done. Well, you know what? You can't. You know, if I were to tell you that, you would go home and then you just get all frustrated because you couldn't do it the way I did it. You know why you can't do it the way I did it? You're not me. I'm just telling you, go read the scriptures and just pray and thank God for all of His benefits and all of His blessings. And I'll tell you what, He's going to manifest it in you. He's going to put it in you. He's going to make you into a soul-winning machine. Maybe not like somebody, but somebody else. He's going to cause you to be a witness. You know, one of the greatest witnesses is your joyful countenance. That's one of the greatest witnesses that you have, is that you're not depressed like five other people they know. You kind of irritate people, actually. You know, you ever notice that? I mean, if you're joyful in the middle of a bad situation that everybody's experiencing, they're like, what is wrong with you? You apparently have problems, or you don't even understand what's happening. You're stupid. That's what it is. You're stupid. You just don't understand that the whole world is falling apart. We're just going to lose everything. Well, thank you for that. You know what? I don't buy that. I don't believe that at all. I believe that the living God is bigger than any problem that you can come up with. And you would try to apply it to me. I'm going to try to apply something to you. Jesus Christ has already taken all of my burdens and all of my problems, and He can take yours too. I just want to explain that to you. And if you'd like to know more, you come. Here's my number. Call me up. Let's go to lunch. And I'll spend an hour telling you about the things you don't want to hear. People just don't want to know. People just don't like being happy somehow. You know, they figure complaining is just a better fellowship item. It's great for drinking. You know, people get, hey, let's go have a beer and, you know, drown our problems, you know. No, it's horrible. It's ridiculous, you know, because all of a sudden you go home and you're irritable when you get home all of a sudden, you know, because you've spent the whole day complaining about every problem you ever had. How about just rejoice and give praise? How about read this right here? This will bless you. This will build you up, make you happy. So He's predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. This is verse 5 in Ephesians 1. According to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. His grace is great. His grace is powerful. His grace is the implementation of His promise. He has come by His power. The grace of God is His mercy and His power on your behalf. His grace is His goodness toward you. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so all of this is to the praise of the glory of His grace. Everything that He's promised you is so that His name is glorified. Wherein He has made us what? Oh, read that. Wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. It's good to be accepted. I think it's good to be accepted. I like it. Do y'all like it? I mean, you know, if you were wanting to go to Pepperdine, it's good to be accepted. Otherwise, if you showed up, they might send you home. I think it's good to be accepted. Esther was accepted over at Dallas Baptist University. Jack was accepted. Go figure. You know, no, it was good. They're accepted. In fact, once they got them, they actually let them out and gave them a piece of paper. They said they'd done it. Well, good. Praise the Lord. And then it keeps going. Verse 7, he says, In Jesus. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. There's that grace again. Wherein, the grace, He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. He decided, and He's going to do it. He decided, and He's going to do it. According to the riches of His grace. So God had a plan from the foundation of the world, and He is manifesting that plan. He's making it on your behalf. He's implementing that plan on your behalf. He made it in His will, and He is now implementing that. He is the executor of His own will, and now He is, since He has died, He rose again, and now He is manifesting every promise that He made, and He's manifesting it in you for your benefit and for your blessing, so that you could be the demonstration of His glory. As you happily bump along in the worst situation that we've seen in a week, or a month, or a year, or 10 years. God's doing it in you. Yeah, but it's just hard. No. That's your brain. That's your old man. That's the old man. Because what does your old man want to do? Your old man wants to complain. Your old man wants to come up and say, you know. But the problem is that then you'll just stay there. God doesn't, he doesn't push you. You know, He's going to let you stay there. You know, stay there in your grumpy self. And just let you stay around there. But no, I'm encouraging. But that's why you come here. You're coming here because I'm encouraging you to build you up and to encourage you. I mean, call me up and I'll tell you. Nothing more than I'm telling you right now. You know, I won't give you five steps to help you. I'll just say, rejoice today. Because that's step one. That's job one. Is to rejoice and to thank God and to get into His Word and to encourage one another. Fellowship. Get around somebody else who's going to do the same dumb thing that I'm going to do to you. Amen? You just might not be able to find me every single day. Find somebody else. We got a bunch of guys over on Tuesday morning. The two of them are here. You know, and they come and they fellowship with us. And we just build up and encourage one another. It's in the same old world that y'all are in. Amen? I mean, you guys meet on at least every other week, right? Something? And at the flood house, and then over at the parishes, you know, and or the Comerfords, and you're meeting together, and you're encouraging and building each other up. See, you know what's impressive about this? Occurred to me the other day. Of course, Pastor Jim's mentioned it before. Is that, you know, it takes 10 men to have a synagogue. Right? 10 men. You know, you got to say it like that. You have 10 men to have a synagogue. You know how many? You can have two. You can have two women to have a church. You just need two people. Just two people. The poor women, they were left out of the synagogue thing. You know what? They would secretly get together and just have church. Isn't that great? Yeah, you can just get two people. Doesn't matter who they are. Your husband and your wife, you could get together. Amen. You could have church right there. It'd be so powerful because you can just rejoice and give praise to God. You know, if you're just two believers, two friends, you can get together and you can have church. And you can have an opportunity to the Holy Spirit says, God says, I'm right there in the midst of you. Here I am. I'm right there in the midst of you. Wherever two or three of you agree is touching anything, I'm right there in the midst of you. Verse 8. Okay, verse 9, sorry. Having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both that are in heaven and those things that are on earth, even in Him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. Man, you almost have to start that whole passage over again just to get. I mean, that's not full of just no words. That is full of power. That's full of the promise of God being demonstrated and unloaded on you with a, you know, backhoe or, you know, I mean, it's bigger than you can imagine with a dump truck. You know, He is unloading on you His promise. And it's bigger than you can imagine. It's huge. Praise God. You have everything. Over in Romans chapter 8, it says, how shall he that spared not his own son not also freely give us all things? How shall he not freely give us all things? With Jesus, you get everything. if you're with Jesus in the boat and you're already at the land. Amen. Isn't that powerful? Oh, I love it. We've obtained an inheritance, chapter 11, verse 11, being predestined according to the purpose of Him. We're predestined according to the purpose, to His purpose. The one who works all things after the counsel of His own will. He's already working. Heard that song, right? You know, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. He's always working. Amen. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. He doesn't listen to you, He listens to Himself. You know, all things work together for good to them that love Him, that are called according to the purpose of His will. All things work together for good to them that are called according to the purpose of His own will. Hallelujah. That we should be. Now, what's the purpose of that? That we should be to the praise of the glory of. Now read it right. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom you also trusted. Now he's talking to the Ephesians. In whom you. Now he's going to include them. He's going to include the Ephesians here. Like you guys. Like you guys. In whom you also trusted. After that you heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed. How many have been sealed? I've been sealed. I've been sealed. I've been sealed. He's not like thinking about it, looking at me. I've already been sealed. By that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That is, He's coming back for you. But you've already got a mark on you, sold. You've already got, sold is on you. You've already been bought with a price. To the praise of His glory. It's all to the glory of God. Why? Because it's not to the praise of His glory or to the glory of God because He's some megalomaniac. He's got to be, praise me. Come on, go ahead. I'm ready. You know, that's you. Go ahead, praise me. No, it's all for you. The praise of His glory is for you. It's on your behalf. Amen? It's for you. The praise of His glory is for you. He did everything for you. He's producing everything in you and for you, for your blessing and for your benefit. You're His kids. You're His kids that He has decided to adopt. I'll take her. I'll take those kids. Those are the kids that I want. And I'm going to transform them and make them a blessing and bless them and make them successful and joyful and peaceful and restful and give them everything that they need. Well, they're not looking blessed. That's okay. You don't know them. You don't know them. You don't know who they are. I'm blessing them and I'm taking care of them one thing at a time. You know, God knows exactly how to take care of what your needs are. And He's not going to take care of it like somebody else. This is not one size fits all. This is God fits you. He fits you. You won't be like anybody else. But He's going to manifest Himself in blessing and goodness to you. I'm blessed beyond measure. But it's not because of anything I did. I didn't do anything. I did nothing. Remember Paul had me talk about, I was the Pharisee of the Pharisees, the top gun, the big shot. And God basically knocked me off my horse. And said, tell you what, you're going to do what I tell you. And I'm going to bless you. Verse 14, this is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God, here it is, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, here's the prayer, here's his prayer for you. Listen. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding may be being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Hallelujah. That's his prayer for you. I want to go back and read that. Go back and read that. Go back and read that. Make that your meditation. Make that prayer that's your meditation. Amen. This is the thing. That's why you want to read the beginning of these epistles. It's because it tells you who you are. That's just chapter one. There's two more chapters in here, 2 and 3, that will encourage you and build you up. It tells you how you're accepted. Well, he said it already. You're accepted in the Beloved. And that's before you ever got to doing anything. Amen. It's not about doing. He does the doing once you're in him. Amen. All of these things that are happening today, all of these things that are happening in our world, they've all happened before. It's just had a different name on it. I mean, they had a World War I. And then they had a World War II. Before that, they had a Civil War. Can you imagine having a Civil War with all your people? People live, people die. We have a next generation. We've got a generation. I just lost all my parents in the last 2 or 3 years. And that generation is gone. The generation that built this country is no longer watching it, sitting around. I mean, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, all these guys, they're gone. You know who's here? You and me. We have an opportunity to believe God. We have an opportunity to see righteousness in this country more than any other place in the world, because we have the opportunity to affect people by our testimony. By our testimony for Christ and his testimony for righteousness. Amen? So, what is it to love the neighbors to tell somebody, hey, you should probably vote for, you probably should, first of all, read your Bible and find out what godliness looks like, and then implement it in your society, in your local town. Maybe implement it in your school district. Well, how do we do that? Well, there's a guy running who loves Jesus and he hates sin. Vote for him. Well, the other guys have been in there for so many years, they've got all kinds of experience. Yeah, and look where our kids are. Same thing with your city council. Same thing. You know, you as a believer have the opportunity to affect your community. Amen. You do. Jesus put you here to be what? Salt and light. You're here to be salt and light. Salt and light kind of just, they do according to their nature. They don't like get up, you don't see a salt shaker walking around, do you? You don't see a light bulb getting up walking around. But you see the effect of the salt, and you taste the effect of the salt, and you see the effect of the light. So as you're worshiping, as you're giving praise to God, as you're going about doing your business, and salt and light is being effected by you, people are affected. Effect is what you do, what's happening because of you and your presence. Affect It's what's happening passively to the folks who you run into. All right? So what I'm encouraging you to do, first of all, have a relationship with Jesus. Then find out daily what he wants you to do. And then allow that to affect your neighbor. And if it's in your power to do, James says, to him who knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it's sin. Well, it's not like you're not sinning some other way. You're sinning all over the place every single day. You sin here, you sin there. He said, 1 John 1:9 says, you know, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's good. That's how you live from day to day, is you're confessing your sin, because it's not about not sinning. It's about believing in the finished work of Jesus. That's how you daily walk. Amen. That's how you daily walk. And so, but in the meantime, that God says, hey, go tell somebody to do this, or go help out with that, or do this, and you're bringing righteousness, at least as much as can be, in this world. And because you have the ability to make that change. In Russia, they may not have the ability to do that. Amen? In some places, they'll kill you for it. You know, don't vote against President Xi. We'll kill you. We'll put you in jail. We caught 5 people voting against that guy today, and we put him in jail. They objected, and then we shot him. Doesn't happen here yet. Amen. So here, you can make a difference. Amen. I just encourage you that. We're coming up upon these elections, so I'll just encourage you to do that. And what? It's, again, these things are not about pleasing. Listen, it's not about pleasing God. How many know he's already pleased? Do you know Jesus is already pleased? He's not displeased with you. He's pleased by faith. Amen. Well, I love you. Good to be. Anybody, I hope you were blessed today. I hope somebody got something that you can enjoy and, you know, take home for leftovers. Amen. Turn it over. Try it again. Make it your own. Amen. Make it your own. I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be exactly what I said. Just make it your own. Amen. Amen. Anybody have a testimony or anything you want to share that might have come up in your heart? Barbara? Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it. Exactly. Actually, it's all the chapters about what he's doing. It's just the last 3 tend to be what people see. But he's still doing as much as he was doing it in chapters 1-3. He's still doing it in chapters 4, 5, and 6. Dave. Speak up a little bit.
They lean Calvinist, and I've been having conversations with these people, these other believers. And we've had really good fellowship. We went on a camp trip. But I didn't know how to express it, but really it's all right here in Ephesians. Just that whole, how do you put together God's predestination with our free will and our responsibility as believers? But it's all that. All that is in him.
Mm-hmm.
The answer, he's chosen us in him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And our freedom is in him. And all of that is a mystery of how that works, why things happen in our lives. Is it God acting? Is it us? All of that's in him. And I just saw that in that verse 4.
Yeah.
He has chosen us, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
I don't know. It hits it over and over again. In him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And joy is the secret.
Exactly.
That's going to
Mm-hmm. That's it. Amen. Amen. Encourage one another with these words, like the scripture says. Susie. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Does that speak to somebody in particular today? Whatever you're going through, the Lord's going to bring. He's bringing you through it. A lot of times, what happens is somebody is. Sometimes there needs to be a specific word to address a specific, or as specific as that. And obviously, that doesn't seem totally specific to anybody who. To anybody who's not going through something, but somebody, it's like, that was me. So, I just want you to just receive that right now. Just receive it right now. The Holy Spirit is in us to give words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And so, if that is a word that speaks to your heart, just say, Father, thank you for that. And I'm receiving that right now. That's me. That's who I'm. That's me. And if that's you, you can share it publicly. If it's you, you can share it with Susie. And just tell her, thank you for being obedient. Amen. You remember Agabus, or not Agabus, but Ananias, the prophet who was speaking, he was praying to God in his house. And he all of a sudden, he got a call from God on his cell phone. And he said, hey, I want you to go down and talk to this Saul guy. You've seen him on the news, and he's a bad dude. And I just blinded him, and he's going to do mighty great works for me, but I want you to go down and lay your hands on him I'll give him his sight back. And, of course, Ananias goes, could you call somebody else? Could you call Pastor Jim? Yeah. and or at least, you know, call Pastor Jeff, somebody, you know, call one of those elder guys. So he called, but Ananias gets up and goes and does what God told him to do because he got a word from the Lord. Amen? So you get a word from the Lord, just obey it. Just obey the Lord. Don't do more. Just do what he told you to do. Usually you'll shut up after about 2 minutes. Amen. Hey, God is good. You know he's just loving you. He's just loving you so much, and he's really not mad at you. He's really not. He's not like, well, I wish you would straighten up. I wish, you know, they would straighten up. You know, I'm really tired of, I think I need another group. No, God never says that. He does not say that, you know. It's like Dave would never say, I want different kids. I don't think. No. No, he'd say, no, this is my special one. And look, there's only one left. So praise God. It's great. It's great to have Anna. Anna's the best. Don't tell Abby. She's still having to work hard. This one, no work. No work at all. Just God made her perfect. And she loves it when I point her out. Amen. It's like my kids. So I'll point out Esther too. There you go. Yeah, that's better. All right, I love you all. God is good. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock. Pastor Jim will be teaching right. He'll stand right there. Everybody kind of gather on this side. Let's all stand together. If you have an offering today for the church, it'll, there's a little box at the back. You can use that on the way out.